the Midnight Radio Network. Eric Harley, Gary McNamara, and you at 800-288-9227. Welcome to Ask the Law for March 2009. This is Ask the Law for March 2009. By the way, Senior Trooper Monty Dial, retired from the Texas Highway Patrol, is here to answer your regulatory questions. Get on board. And Ask the Law is brought to you by all of us here at the Midnight Radio Network and R.J. Taylor and the entire gang there working very hard for you at Old Blue USA. All the questions and answers are up to date as of today, March 2nd, 2009, and can change without notice. 800-288-9227. Drivers, if you want to ask retired Senior Trooper Monty Dial a question. Gary, Monty, how are you guys?
Great.
Oh. I guess turning your mic on would help. We probably have to include that third mic for a reason. Good morning, guys. I guess we really shouldn't go any further without saying our condolences to the family of Paul Harvey, a colleague that we lost over the weekend. I got this email Saturday evening, and it's funny because I couldn't confirm it anywhere else. No other news groups had it.
Mm-hmm.
And then about an hour and a half later or so, the main news organizations had it that Paul Harvey had died at the age of 90. And, you know, this is something that I guess we all, you know, at some point saw it coming, you know, at the age of 90. But with a Paul Harvey, here's a guy...
He worked. He's not supposed
every
to.
Every day. Yeah, well, he was always there. It was, you know, and he had, of course, his problems a few years ago with his voice and everything. But, I mean, here's a guy who worked, you know, did what he did, and everybody enjoyed it. And we just kind of maybe took for granted that it was going to be there. Even all of us, Gary, on the inside of the operation,
mm-hmm.
That know that, you know, Paul, you know, is getting up there in age, all of his listeners that have followed him for decades, but you don't think in those terms. And then when he's gone, all of a sudden, it was a massive blow and a void that I don't think can be filled.
And just so everybody knows, I mean, he worked for the same company.
Yeah,
ABC Radio Networks,
right.
as we do. And is it interesting because when I got your text yesterday, I had just gotten off a plane, and I had just, it was funny because as soon as the plane landed, in Dallas, I immediately just, as I always do, you know, you turn on your cell phone, and I said, wonder if anything's happened online, and that's where I, you know, and that's where I saw in the Drudge Report that he had died, and then as soon as I jumped in my car, there it is, you text me.
Yeah.
And I went back to 1983, when I really look at it as my first radio job. I'd had one before that, but it was in such a little town. But I got a job in Fort Walton Beach, Florida, as doing a morning show for a rock station.
Right,
and it was my
right.
interview.
Yeah.
So I fly in early in the morning, so it must have been around his noon report, and I come in. The general manager of the radio station picks me up. And remember, this is for a rock station.
Yeah.
And he says, hang on, we can talk a little bit later on. Paul Harvey's on. And at a rock station in the 80s... they were carrying Paul Harvey.
Right.
And
right.
and it was just, you just, the crossover appeal that he had to me is just unprecedented. When you look at the, I think the crossover appeal that he had with the longevity that he had. Now, mm-hmm. his national broadcast actually started in 1976 when he started doing that.
Right.
So that would have been, you know, roughly, you know, 7 years into it. But he was such a huge, huge, huge figure. And you just don't see that in the media where you can have that type of crossover appeal for that long of a time. It just doesn't happen.
No, and it was amazing. And you know, to kind of further make that point, I used to, when I was in high school and I first got my driver's license, I had to go pick up my sister, whose school was, you know, that's what mom and dad do. They if you get, once you get your driver's license, you start running errands for mom and dad. So what I did was I would, and I had this job where I was working at this grocery store, and on the days that I was home when my sister was getting out of school, it was my job to go pick her up. And my favorite thing to do was to go get one of those small hamburgers from McDonald's, because, you know, it's pretty much all I could afford. But that was my afternoon snack. And I would sit out in front of her school and listen to Paul Harvey. Now, she was in after school things and everything else, so it was later in the evening. It was the rest of the story is what I would listen to. So I would pick her up in the evenings. I would sit there with a, you know, an after school snack or sometimes my dinner or whatever, and sit in my dad's car and listen to Paul Harvey. And I wasn't, you know, I wasn't, probably wasn't the typical listener. You know, I had hair halfway down my back. I listened to heavy metal music. I was in a heavy metal band. Not the typical listener, but that was the whole point about Paul Harvey, is that he went essentially, he broke boundaries when it came to listenership, I think, in radio, because what he did was so intriguing. And that's the whole thing of radio. Mm-hmm. That's the whole thing with anything in entertainment, is that you have to be intriguing. There has to be something about you, in part, and this is Radio Personality 101, going back to the Dan O'Day seminars, that people connect with. There has to be something there that they feel comfortable with.
I think one of the greatest honors that he has been given, I went to one of the radio blogs, and you know, they announced that he had died, and just one response after another, and this is all from radio guys, everyone, good day, good day, good day, good day, all the way down the line. And they weren't doing that in a sarcastic way. Once somebody started, and then they just continued it over and over again, which is, you know, just, believe me, it was a tribute to him.
Yeah.
It wasn't sarcasm. It was a tribute all the way down from radio guys, which I thought was really, really cool.
It really was.
And we'll talk more about it here.
We will.
Throughout the show.
We've got another announcement to make later in the program pertaining to this program. We'll get to that a little bit later on. Retired Senior Trooper Monty Dial from the Texas Highway Patrol is here.
Let me ask the first question, can I? And
sure.
This really doesn't technically have to do with the trucking industry or any regulation, but just tell me if this was probably the correct thing, Monty, here. It says, police in Ohio say a woman was caught breastfeeding and talking on the phone while driving at the same time. Were they right to charge her?
I don't know what the laws in Ohio are.
Yeah. Well, and she says, by the way, this same individual says she would do it again. She says her child was hungry. She was feeding her child. She would do it again if she had to.
Well,
anytime, obviously, you see a parent holding a child while they're driving that close to the airbag, that has to be. I don't know that there are any laws pertaining directly to breastfeeding while driving, but certainly there are child constraint laws in every state.
Oh, sure. I would definitely say she did violate that one.
Yeah. Probably
my question is, how was she talking on the phone?
Right.
Well, I saw one the other day.
I guess hands-free. Did it mention that?
That's the whole thing. I'm assuming that it's legal to talk with the hands-free.
Right.
So she must have not been on a hands-free is what I'm wondering.
We're going up Central Expressway, and here's a gal in the HOV lane.
Uh-huh.
She's got a cell phone in one ear, texting on another phone.
Oh, boy.
Driving with her niece.
Oh, boy.
In the HOV lane.
You know, I'm sorry. Some people can handle, and I know that I'm one of them, so I try not even to talk on the phone anymore, because I realize, even though I have the Bluetooth headset, I really leave it at home the vast majority of time. Maybe if I'm traveling and going long distances and I'm heading down a road. But I've realized a couple of times while talking on the cell phone, this was a long time back, that I missed something.
Oh, yeah.
And once I realized that I missed something, I said, I don't need to do it. But texting?
Yeah, like, why were all those people at that red light stopped back there?
Yeah, exactly.
why were they stopped?
But I knew, at least I had to learn that lesson from the cell phone where I went, geez, I missed that. I can't let that happen. I have never even attempted to text while driving. I mean, that is insane. Yeah. I don't even want to read text. You know, then again, to read a text on a cell phone, I got to put on my reading glasses, so that's the last thing I'm going to do. But these people that actually text while driving, I mean, that's pure insanity.
Yeah, I cannot. I'm telling you right now, I cannot. I went over, by the way, Gary, I crossed the line this weekend. This was a pivotal point in my life as an adult.
You went and saw the movie Mamma Mia.
No, actually, my wife has that on DVD.
Oh, okay.
I bought it for her, and she said it sucked. That's all I need to know.
You golfed?
No. Oh. No. No, I would have called you from the course if I'd have done that. I have golfed before, okay. But I, yeah, it's, I, yeah, so. I bought reading glasses.
I've been telling him this for the longest time.
I bought reading glasses. And where are they right now?
At home.
They're on my desk at home.
Okay.
Yeah. So over the weekend, because I realized I can't see. I can't see my phone stuff. And I've been getting these weird headaches from reading email on this tiny little screen all this time. And I broke down and said, that's enough. I went down to the drugstore and got some reading glasses. But I can't imagine that kind of where people are just sitting there and texting and texting and texting. I wonder how long it's going to be before we get to some kind of, and they've already talked about this technology, that will be in cars that will disable cell phones unless the car is in park. And we've talked about this technology in recent weeks, Gary, where if a vehicle is not, but the problem is everybody in that vehicle would so if there was somebody in the backseat, they couldn't make a phone call either. The question becomes, are you okay with that? Would you be okay with that as a passenger with that kind of technology that would shut cell phones down? You couldn't make a call as long as that car was in drive.
As long as it was, you had an on-off switch where the driver could control
that. Right, right.
But
yeah, That would have to be
right,
the case.
Right. I wouldn't be okay with it, especially, could you dial 911?
Don't know.
And it's funny because my dad dialed 911 the other day.
Yeah.
While he, while he was driving, coming to pick me up at the airport, there was actually a truck that was in the middle of the road with all the light just dead stop.
Right.
In the middle of two different lanes, no lights, nothing, no signs, just sitting there, and so it was causing so much of a problem, and people were coming up, and around a corner, so people were almost coming up and hitting it, and he actually called 911 and said, you guys know about this? No, we have no idea. There's a truck in the middle of the road.
Wow.
18-wheeler just sitting there.
Unbelievable.
Sort of sideways, and it's like, when we were coming back from the airport, it was still there and still no police.
Wow.
And it was like, what in the world is this?
Wow.
And apparently there are some regulations that you just can't do that.
Yeah,
since we're here.
Apparently. In fact, I want to talk to you about railroad crossings coming up in just a few minutes. There was an accident here in the area over the weekend. It appears that the driver is okay, but they're still wondering how this happened. And we'll talk about that more with Trooper Monty Dial. It is Ask the Law for Monday, March 2009. If you want to get on board at 800-288-9227. Drivers, maybe you have a regulatory item. Maybe your carrier, your manager is telling you one thing and you believe it's another and you'd like to clear it up with Trooper Dial. That is why we are here. Old Blue USA makes it possible. Remember, the answers and questions are up to date as of today, Monday, March 2nd, 2009. Can change without notice. So we're back in just a moment. If you want to get on board, do it now.
Oh, on the Midnight Radio Network, 800-288-9227.
Ask the Law starts now at 800-288-9227.
It's the Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law, 800-288-9227. Gary along with Eric.
And we've got retired senior trooper Monty Dial from the Texas Highway Patrol at your service at 800-288-9227. Old Blue USA is sponsor of Ask the Law. You can go to askthelaw.org anytime and submit a question. And remember, all the answers and questions are up to date this morning as of March 2nd, 2009. They can change without notice. Let's get to your calls at 800-288-9227.
Let's talk to Robin. Robin, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network and you're on Ask the Law. Welcome. Hi.
Oh, hold on a second.
Hello, Robin.
Robin. Hello, Robin.
Hey, how are y'all doing?
Good.
Hi, welcome.
The question I had is, I drive a hot oil tanker with a placard 3257 hot, and I'm wanting to know on railroad crossings if I am actually supposed to stop at all railroad crossings or if I'm exempt from that.
You are exempt from that, Robin, because you do not have a placard on your vehicle. You have a marking.
Okay. That's what I was... You know, that's kind of what I thought, but, you know, you hear both sides of the story. So
yeah. Now,
if I pull in, you know, with a flammable or a combustible, then,
stop. But, no, with yours being the all-white background, that is a marking. It is not a placard. So you don't even have to have the hazmat endorsement.
Okay. All right, sir. Well, I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. We do appreciate it. The truck over the weekend that ran into a train here in our area, I believe it was a reefer truck, so And it was hauling, if I'm not mistaken.
Lunch meat.
Lunch meat, cold cuts. So, not hazmat, but what are the rules regarding the railroad crossings? First of all, if you are placarded, what is it that you have to do at a railroad crossing?
If you are carrying placards, law says you have to stop, look, and listen, and then make sure you have sufficient clearance to completely pull across. So no portion of your vehicle is on the railroad tracks. For those that aren't pulling trailers or trucks that have placards on there, the only time they are required to stop is if it is at a uncontrolled intersection. And what we mean by an uncontrolled intersection, there are no lights. Arms, crossing arms.
Right.
If there are no crossing arms, then you have to slow down, look, and then pull completely across.
Yeah. Now, do you have to come to a complete stop?
No.
Okay.
No, you just need to slow down and make sure that you don't see a train coming.
Right.
And then pull across.
All right. Drivers, if you want to get on board, we have an open line at 800-288-9227. You got a question about hours of service, railroad crossings, any regulatory items that we can help you with. Get on board. It is Ask the Law.
On the Midnight Radio Network. Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law, 800-288-9227. Gary McNamara along with Eric Carley.
Retired Senior Trooper Monty Dialis here from the Texas Highway Patrol. Back to your calls in just a moment. We do have an open line if you'd like to get on board at 800-288-9227. Ask the Law service of Old Blue USA and the Midnight Radio Network. And remember, questions and answers are up to date as of March 2nd, 2009. Can change without notice. 800-288-9227 if you have a question about regulations. Let's get back to your calls at 800-288-9227 on Ask the Law.
Let's go to Keith. Keith, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law. Welcome. Hi, Keith.
How you doing, sir?
Good.
Well, the question I had to ask is that there's an argument a little bit on the pre-trip, post-trip, how much time we're supposed to spend on the tractor and trailer and show it on the logs. I've been wanting to show it half hour pre-trip and half hour post-trip like it done at the end of the day. And that's the way I feel it should be legally shown at minimum, you know what I mean? And but the argument is some people are saying this, even our state man saying, oh, you only need 15 minutes for hooking and show 15 minutes for hooking in and pre-trip for both tractor and trailer. What is the law, say? I don't think nothing's written saying you got to spend a half hour or 15 minutes. It's the right amount of time, even if you go to court on it.
That's a good question. Is there a limit here on time?
No, there's not. And the answer I was going to give you, Keith, is under the pre-trip, all you have to do is satisfy yourself that the vehicle is in safe operating condition, review your post-trip inspection. And I always tell people, and of course, RJ, he overkills everything, kind of like what you're doing.
He wants to make sure, he wants darn
to,
sure that
he's yeah, there. He wants to make sure. He'll walk around. He'll check every lug nut. He doesn't overkill, but that's RJ.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as what the regulations state, it does not specify any amount of time. It just says satisfy yourself that the vehicle is in safe operating condition. Review the post-trip inspection to make sure that there were no defects written up on it prior to you departing. Now, at the end of the day, I always tell everybody it should take you the same amount of time as a DOT officer does to do a walk around inspection on your truck. And I always tell everybody, a truck typically takes me, when I was working, about 15 minutes to walk around a truck.
Yeah.
So, but here again, that was, my time. You being the operator, I don't know what all the company is asking you to check, but typically, I'm going to say the 15 to 20 minutes is probably going to be a normal average time.
Well, I thought, like, if I get an accident and were to go to a court, and what I was hearing from other drivers, if you go to go to court, and then the court looks at your log and say, hey, you only spent 15 minutes on this your pre-trip. You mean you took the vehicle, you know, and from where it was parked, the tractor, and went to the trailer, hooked it up, and did all this in 15 minutes? I don't think it's right.
Well, now, here again, now, so you're not going to count the time that it takes you from where the tractor's parked to where the trailer is. You know, this is actually, you know, we're talking the amount of time it takes you to do a pre-trip once both units are coupled together.
Oh, I see a point. Okay, that's fine, man.
All right, great. Well, thank you for the call. We do appreciate it. And I think that's the difference there is between what the reasonable expectations are.
Yes.
And then going beyond that,
right,
what might be a little more CYA if you get into a wreck, if there is
correct.
Some kind of a liability on your part. 800-288-9227. We have an open line. Get on board now.
Let's talk to Philip. Philip, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network, and you're on Ask the Law. Welcome. Hi.
Yes. I had a question and all. On back a long time ago, you could do grouping on your hours. And all, like, say if you drove 4 hours total for the whole day and you're on duty for 3 hours, can you still show the driving time all together and then drop down and show your on-duty time all together?
You can, Philip, if you are doing multiple stops in the same city.
Okay, it has to be in the same
city. It has to be in the same city. As an example, here in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, you know, we've got umpteen different little cities in and around the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. What you would have to do would be if you spent 3 hours, just as an example, in the city of Dallas making deliveries, then you could take and show multiple stops in the city of Dallas. You would show driving time at the beginning, driving time at the end, and then group all of your stops into one category.
Okay. I do appreciate it.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Philip.
All right. Get on board, drivers, if you have a question about regulations, 800-288-9227. We saw a couple of regulatory items, that came across the news desks over the last couple of weeks. Most of them have to do with the Mexican trucking situation. And it looks like, at least according to thetrucker.com, and I got a call from Lyndon Finney, who was on our Friday show. I got a call from him again at home on Friday after the show, and they had posted a follow-up to that story. If you want to go to thetrucker.com, there's more information there. But it looks like Secretary LaHood will likely not be stepping in the way of Congress if they are to try and shut down the Mexican truck program. I guess we'll just have to wait and see on that one. Any news that you've heard of there?
No. Like I say, other than what you have read, I know that the senator out of, North Dakota?
Yeah, I think so.
Is adamantly opposed to it.
Mm-hmm.
And, he was one of the ones that carried the bill 2007.
Right.
That the president, former president, ignored and kept the program going. In fact, I think he even extended it another year. And
Secretary Peters, Mary Peters,
right,
extended it to a 2-year pilot program,
right,
instead of 1 year.
And
the word was, according to the trucker, is that the DOT lawyers at the time, those were lawyers, I don't know if those lawyers are still in place there at the DOT, were actually able to find a loophole,
right,
that kept the pilot program open.
Correct. Well, it all had to do with the fact that there was the money that had been appropriated.
Mm-hmm.
Was already in its place.
Right.
And so when they did some more appropriations, they cut the money out of it. Well, they had already had the money in place, so they said, okay, you know, fine, not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not using any of the money you gave us to further this project. And so that's how they kept the project going.
Yeah, yeah.
And so now then, in reading some of the comments from the senator, apparently he has done his homework and supposedly has closed all of the loopholes.
Yeah, well, and there will be some movement on that, in fact, over the next couple of weeks, and we'll certainly watch that for you. More with Trooper Dial, and I want to ask the question, and that's something that we get quite a bit here, and it really it relates to the Mexican truck pilot program and foreign drivers in general and what they have to know as far as English is concerned. So we'll get to that here in just a moment.
Because we're still getting that question.
Well, it really, and it comes up again and again and again. And I think there's a lot of misnomers, which is why, as I mentioned, we've been doing this show for years, and we'll always be able to, you know, bring up plenty of questions out there because there's so many misnomers and rumors and everything else. So we'll get to that here in just a few minutes. Retired Senior Trooper Monty Dial from the Texas Highway Patrol is here on Ask the Law. If you want to get on board, do it now.
On the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network. Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
800-288-9227. That's the number for Ask the Law. Retired Senior Trooper Monty Dial from the Texas Highway Patrol is here courtesy of Old Blue USA. And remember, all the answers and questions are up to date as of today, March 2nd, 2009. Can change without notice. Let's get back to the phones at 800-288-9227.
Let's go to BJ. BJ, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network and you're on Ask the Law. Welcome. Hi.
Good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, I'm on Texas only, but every once in a while I run into Oklahoma and fill in for a driver who's taking some vacation time. And I know I need to take a 10-hour break, but for how long? Is that for a week, the restart, or for 30 days?
What you need to do, BJ, is, and I'm going to give you two answers. One, yep. The one answer I'm going to give you is if you are stopped on the road, they are going to treat you how you are. As an example, today, this is Monday.
Mm-hmm.
You're fixing to make your trip into Oklahoma. Sometime on Sunday, you should have taken a 10-hour break.
Right.
Once you get back, then you take an 8-hour break. Now then you can start operating under the Texas rules again. That's for on-road enforcement.
Gotcha.
If a state or a federal DOT auditor comes in, there's a little rule that's in the interpretations found in Part 390 that says they're going to go back 7 days before or 7 days after you make an interstate trip, and the driver has to be under the interstate rules.
Okay. So it has to basically be with the 2 weeks, a week prior and a week in advance, right?
Correct.
I got you.
So if you knew, so if the company last week told you, hey, BJ, we're fixing to send you to Oklahoma, what you need to do is you need to, for a week prior to that trip, you need to hop over and start running the interstate rules. And you need to run the interstate rules 1 week after you make the trip.
Gotcha. Good deal.
Hey, thank you so much. Do appreciate that call. And that kind of delayed my question. I wanted to make sure the driver had a chance first to ask a question. But coming up after the top of the hour, in hour two, I'll ask that question about what drivers need to know if they're, well, if they're from another country, if they don't speak, if English is not their first language, and much more as we continue with Ask the Law.
Get aboard now at 800-288-9227.